Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. I appreciate you tuning in today. Guest across the way is Mr. Sean Rush from Rush Appliance and Furniture. Today's business of the day. You didn't even know that, did you, Sean?
I did this morning.
You found out today, huh? Well, that's cool. It's always good to be in the know, right?
Dodie told me. I forgot about it.
Well, that's one thing that's good. You're busy enough that you've got this stuff going on, and you don't even realize it because you're just too darn busy.
I don't have any problem staying busy.
Well, that's an outstanding thing. Sean is the manager here at the Rush Appliance and Furniture, and he also does a lot of coaching in the area with the little league teams and basketball teams, and we're just going to talk about a variety of things. I tell you what, have you been? Well, I was going to ask you about something, but I'll wait till later. Tell me a little bit about your day. I know whenever Lynn was here earlier, we were talking about Carol. We were talking about Carol Rush, and Carol was driving up every day from Enfield, right?
Springerton.
Yeah, And I would meet him on the road like at 7:30 crossing the tracks. And then I'd meet him on the road as I was going home. He was heading home about 5 o'clock or something like that. Carol was a real character. Are there customers that you've had over the years that miss coming in and talking to Carol? I bet you they talk to you about that all the time.
Oh, yeah, I have lots of people come in all the time, and, you know, they'll tell me stories about Grandpa
Carol started the store, right?
Yes, he did, yeah. We started in October of 49.
Wow.
We've been there a long time. A lot of generational business, just handed down, from generation to generation. I have people come in all the time, talking about Grandpa. It's hard to believe it's been 5 years, since he's been gone.
Has it been that?
It's been 5 years.
I thought of him the other night. He had his picture in the paper. Yeah. His twin brother. No kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Carol was a twin.
He had a twin.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They're both gone now.
Both gone. Yeah. Grandpa there's no siblings left.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. How old was Carol in that picture? By the way, he looked like
I really don't know.
Did you see the picture and recognize him?
I mean, I knew who it was when I seen it. I'd seen the picture before.
Oh, I see.
But
did you turn that in?
No. I think my grandmother possibly did.
Catherine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. But,
by the way, she's very good about sending me in birthdays. You know that.
Well, that's good.
She makes sure that you're on there. By the way, she sent me a list of about 50 birthdays or something.
They're a generation of their own. They're still the people that send. They send cards, thank you notes, yes. And, where technology in today's world has pretty much eliminated a lot of that.
Yeah, it really has.
Texting and social media and all that stuff, a lot of people have turned to that instead of, sending somebody a thank you note or a birthday card or something of that nature.
Since you bring something like that up, does that I wonder if that kind of personal touch or that kind of personal experience and with your customers has been maybe one of the basic tenets of Rush Appliance being open for 65 years.
Well, we try to do things old school. We do very little things, as far as internet and computer and that type of stuff. I mean, I'd rather somebody just come in my store.
Yeah,
That way I can talk with them and have that personal relationship with them, versus just trying to sell somebody something over the internet.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
It makes a big difference. I know for my personal self when I do business with somebody, it's always nice for somebody to know your first name.
Yeah,
they know your family. That type thing, and you just have that personal touch. To me, that's what a small town business is all about.
It makes a big difference. For instance, you can. Somebody comes in and they might have their mind set on, say, this particular refrigerator over there or something like that.
Yeah, I have people,
and you can tell them, hey man, this isn't the one that fits what you're needing.
Yes,
right?
And I think that's the advantage of a small business like what we have. Somebody comes in and just to give an example, if they don't have any experience with a high efficiency washer, you know, top load washer, front load washer.
Yeah, what's the difference between a high efficiency versus some kind of?
Okay, your high efficiency, you know, what they do, they use quite a bit less water.
Yeah.
You know, they're.
Use as much power or less power? Too?
Well, that's not really the issue. It's more water than anything.
Okay.
You know, they do not have a deep rinse, they use a spray rinse. And, you know, in the community that we live in, you know, we still have, you know, quite a bit of oil field and farming, you know, that type of thing.
Sure.
You know, that's probably not a washer for you because you have to have water to get clean clothes.
Yeah.
And they just don't have, you know, they don't use as much water.
So what you're saying is on one of those high efficiency washers in this kind of area.
Yeah.
It may or may not be the
right
product.
If you're a business person and you wear, you know, clothes daily that you don't really get dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would work for you. But when people come in the store, you know, I can give them my honest opinion.
Yeah.
You know, on
if you're in the oil field.
That sure.
The high efficiency may not be the right one to get grease out of something.
I would not recommend it, no.
Yeah.
And when they come in, you know, I can be honest with them and I can say, hey,
whereas it's not going to say that if they're looking on the internet.
That's exactly right. I mean, they're just there to sell you something.
That's a great point.
Yeah, they're just there to sell you something.
That's a great point. I really hadn't thought about that, about the high efficiencies may not, because, yeah, you're that might be why it's more efficient, using less water. It's having to heat less water, right?
Uses less water. You know, you use a spray rinse instead of a deep rinse. You know, all that plays into factor.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I like happy customers.
Oh, absolutely right.
And so whenever, you know, whenever you live in a small community like we do, you know, you have to, you know, you rub shoulders with people every day.
You're going to be talking to the folks that you're dealing with, aren't you?
That's exactly right. And, you know, a lot of times you deal with families,
yeah.
You know, so you're talking about a multiple group of people. And, you know, that's our number one goal is to we want happy customers.
I'm going to ask you to think about this. Well, I'd like to think about it now, or you think about it over the break, but at some point I want to know the oldest piece of equipment that you sold and you still see running in somebody's home. Because I'm presuming that there has to be somebody out there that bought a particular washer, a particular piece of furniture or something several years ago. When did Carol started out as Rush Appliance and then got furniture later?
Yeah.
Or did he start out with furniture?
We actually started as Rush Appliance. I'm just guessing probably in the 60s or 70s, you know, we probably went to a small line of furniture and then, you know, then it just gradually increased. We built that new addition there, I'm thinking in about 2003 or 2004.
That was right after the Strand burnt down?
When the Strand burnt down, we bought that empty lot.
Yeah.
With the intentions on expanding.
That wasn't you with a book of matches?
No, it wasn't.
I'm just teasing. Carl, Cynthia, it wasn't him.
we bought that lot, and then, you know, we had it for a couple years, and I was glad we built on it because I was tired of mowing it. So I was still pretty young then, and of course,
yeah.
Got a chance to push mow.
Yeah, you got the opportunity to spend time there.
So we built there in about 2003 or 2004, and then that's when we expanded our furniture business. Right now
with that furniture business, you can basically fill somebody's house, can't you?
Sure, yeah. We can cover anywhere from the appliances to bedding living room furniture, anything you need, we can pretty much get.
Do you keep in stock pretty much all sizes of bedding?
Bedding in stock. We probably have 10 to 12 different models on the floor. I may not keep everything in every size, but for most part, we try to keep a...
Who's your main bedding vendor?
Probably right now.
Or do
now.
You have anyone
yeah,
in particular?
We used,
you
use? In Fairfield is different than Carmine. Fairfield, my main bedding vendors are Campbell, which are out of Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And then also Symbol, which is out of Watertown, Wisconsin. Now, our Carmine location, he also carries them two brands, but he also carries a Serta.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And those first two, those are American.
They are, yes.
American made.
All my bedding is American made.
How big of a deal is that to the customer? I you know, I've always wondered. We sold whenever I was at the Southern Wholesale, we would sell American-made shingles, and there were there were Canadian brands trying to come in, and at the end, well, Chinese nails, and that, Chinese nails are basically the only nails and screws and fasteners you can get now are Chinese, except for May's company up in LaSalle, Illinois. But how big of a deal is that to a customer?
I think it's a big deal. You know, I think with what's and maybe more so in the last couple of years, I think it's kind of hit home because with what's happened to Airtex.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, that that's affected a lot of people.
It makes people think about it a little bit more,
You know, you may have to spend just a tad bit more money to get something that's made here in the States.
Right.
But it's putting money right back here.
Talking with Sean Rush from Rush Appliance and Furniture. They are today's business of the day here on the Bruce Dickey Show. We'll talk a little bit more with Sean, see what all's going on. And I'm going to, you see, I've given you time to think about the oldest piece of the appliance.
Yeah.
I want you to come up with something.
Okay.
Well, we're going to talk also Big Green Eggs. He's going to give me some recipes and that kind of thing, how that works. Here on the Bruce Dickey Show, when we return on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, back after these. Folks, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I appreciate you tuning in. It's 71 degrees. It's 927. Today's business of the day. He took off with it. I was going to read your business of the day, Ed. I guess I'll have to wait till Tom brings it back. You saw Tom come in here and steal a piece of paper.
Here he comes.
Thank you.
It's not like he could say it.
Today's business of the day is Rush Appliance and Furniture Company. Now until 3 o'clock on Saturday, June 18th, save as much as 30% on all in-stock furniture and bedding. Pay no sales tax on Big Green Eggs and washer and dryer pairs. Start at just $7.99. Delivery's free. And so's the installation and a lifetime of unbeatable service at Rush Appliance and Furniture Company in downtown Fairfield. See, now that's the thing also that you're not going to get. When you go to Sears, I don't know. I'm not going to name any other place. Go to the big boxes.
Sure.
You go to a big box. You might pay just a little bit less, not much less, but you're going to pay. And for that matter, you might be at or less than those guys too.
Sometimes.
But you're not. The service is just going to be
The service is why we're there.
Yeah.
That's why we're there. The service.
All right. I asked you earlier, you go into other people's houses.
Sure.
You go install stuff. You know where all the bodies are buried.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just teasing.
You know, we see everybody's clean dirt.
You see everybody's clean dirt.
That's right. You go.
You see, now that's the thing. You probably have seen the floor in places from like 30 years
ago. Oh, yeah.
40 years ago.
Yeah.
You've been in some tougher and easy. There are probably some different installs that are easier than others.
True.
Let's put it that way.
True.
What do you think is the oldest whenever you've gone into somebody's home and you know you've been in the business for 69 years, mm-hmm. Rush has been in the business. Mm-hmm. You haven't been.
I've been there 20.
You've been there 20.
Yeah.
What do you think's the oldest appliance you've seen going into somebody's home? The oldest for piece of furniture.
Yeah, we hold a
round. Do you think Grandpa sold?
We hold a round top refrigerator off. Not too long ago, that was.
Wait a minute. What's a round?
Top? A round top would be.
What is a round top refrigerator?
Well, that's the old refrigerators that actually had the rounded top on.
Oh, okay, like a Norge.
Yeah, like a one door type refrigerator. We hauled one of them off not too long ago. It was still working, and it was turquoise. So that,
ladies and gentlemen, a turquoise uh-huh. refrigerator. Yes. Is that available now?
No, it's not available now.
Dang it.
I'm just guessing from the 50s. Somewhere right around in there.
What brands did Carol start out selling back then?
Maytag. We've had Maytag in our family since 1927.
Oh my goodness.
My great grandfather started selling Maytag the year my grandpa was born, and that was in 1927.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's how long we've had Maytag.
I was wondering if you had the Nash Kelvinator fridges and that kind of thing.
Yeah, Maytag was our main line. And then I was telling you earlier, probably 2 years ago, I had a lady that had come in from, Creel Springs, which is just a tad bit north of, there.
North of
Clay City.
Yeah. North
uh-huh.
Clay City.
And back in the 40s and 50s, my grandpa had a brother that had a store in Flora.
Okay.
And it was a Rush appliance also. He'd passed away young. Yeah. And at one time, my grandpa had run both stores.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I think the last time you were here, you uh-huh. mentioned
yeah.
well, at one point, Carol had run, he ran the Carmi store, too, for a while, right?
He helped my dad run it, yeah. yes. And so he was running the Flora store and the Fairfield store. I'm guessing probably back in the 50s, I'm guessing.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it got to be
still
too
living
much.
In Springerton at that?
Yes, he was.
Oh, my uh-huh. goodness. Yeah. That's driving.
So, got to be too much. But I had a lady that I'm guessing she was probably in her 90s. She had come in the store about 2 years ago, and she told me that whenever she first got married in the 50s, that she had bought her first refrigerator off of my grandpa and his brother
wow.
Up in Florida at that time.
Oh, my
I thought that
goodness.
Was pretty interesting.
That's pretty. I was going to say, I know that my mom and dad got married in 59, and they stocked the house. They mm-hmm. they built a house in 1960, and I know. So yeah, there you got 60 years there.
Sure,
is it that long? Well, I don't want to give her too many years.
Yeah, close to 60 to 2040, 40 and an extra
60,
yeah,
56.
Yeah.
Oh, you see no. My mom's not that old though. Yeah, she got married when she was 4, Sean. that's the amazing thing that you can tell stories, and you know these people and these families, and you can go in there and you help these folks out because not now I hate to admit it, not every appliance runs as it's supposed to.
You're
as
correct.
Long as it's supposed to.
That's
right?
correct. That's correct. You know, in today's world, I mean, it's the sad truth, but appliances, I mean, they just don't last like they used to.
They're not built the same
way,
are they?
They're not built the same way. The government mandates have really restricted, how a refrigerator can run. They operate on quite a lot less Freon than they used to.
Uh-huh.
Anymore, if you can get 7 to 10 years out of an appliance, that's pretty good. You get some that don't last that long, and you get some that last longer.
Is that right?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's, as an average rule, about 7 to 10 years is what you're hoping for.
I never even thought about it. You can't recharge it. Can you recharge it?
You can, but just find the leak. That's a lot of your lines are actually ran inside the cabinet
yeah.
anymore. And the service on appliances have really, in the last 10 years, have
like
really,
say, how
really
much,
changed.
How much change have you? You've been there 20 years.
Yes.
And you've been working on appliances for
yeah.
at least that long. Because
yeah.
I presume that Dad would have taken you in
oh,
the
yeah,
shop
I,
some.
I was going into people's houses when I was, 8, 9, 10 years old. I wasn't much help.
And part of the deal, though, was the repair at that time.
Yeah, we would go in and I always went with Grandpa or my Uncle Kurt or whoever. And we would, just as a kid, kind of a tag-along type thing,
sure.
And, it's changed a lot in the last, 10, 15 years. The technology has changed so much.
You've stayed up with it.
I personally have not stayed up with it, but our business has stayed up with it. Yeah. I don't do much of the service end anymore, you know, because I'm in the store all the time. But it's a challenge. You know, 20 years ago when I started, I mean, you know, the common basic knowledge of a washer and dryer was pretty much the same thing.
A washer and a dryer don't do the same thing.
You know, and if you had any kind of common mechanical knowledge, I mean, you could pretty much get by.
Yeah.
Anymore, everything is just so technical, and with the electronics, you have so many boards on there and that type of thing, and sensors.
Say, it's getting more and more like a vehicle, isn't it?
That's exactly what it's
where
getting
you
to.
Can. Where is there something you can plug into that?
They're actually coming to that. They're actually coming to where you can actually diagnose an appliance with an iPhone.
So it's got the appliance sends out like a Wi-Fi type of thing.
Yes,
that's really something.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That's something, and it's
as long as it's registered. I guess that would.
I'm not real sure about all the logistics of it, but I mean it's definitely changed the appliance world, you know, and it's just changed everything. You know, the millennials, you know, that age group of people.
You realize you are one.
I realize I am, but I'm not your typical millennial.
No, that's probably true.
I still have a flip phone. And so I've got
you can still text.
I've got a good friend, Ron Hallam, that we've coached together for years, and he works at the Fairfield National Bank, and he just laughs at me every time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, every time I pull my phone out to text somebody, he just looks at it and he just laughs at me. He's like, man, that thing.
Well, see, like you said, you're not in the service side of it for the most part.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm just not a real technology. I think technology is great. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm just more of kind of an old school person.
See, now that's the interesting thing to me is that, you know, I've bought two or three refrigerators from you over the years, and they have changed over the years.
Because now
we've got one that all you got to do is push a button and it makes things colder in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there is you could always turn up the heat or turn up the cool if you wanted
controls.
But then you'd have to go turn it back down.
Yeah.
But this thing now, you just hit a button and it'll do it for like 20 minutes and then lay off,
won't
it?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, the technology is just definitely.
And it also
everything.
Tells me when a filter's gone bad.
It'll tell you when you need a filter.
I had no idea that they had. What is a filter? Yeah. That's basically what
I was
thinking.
Pretty much all your refrigerators anymore, you know, they have an internal filter that filters the ice and the water. It goes by gallons what it goes by, how much water's ran through it.
Yeah.
So
what's next other than the refrigerators and appliances talking to you on Wi-Fi? What's next in cooking methods? So like on the stove type.
Yeah, I mean your induction's a big thing. You know that and what that is.
I know what convection is. What's induction?
Induction is on the cooktop itself.
Uh-huh.
You know, it takes a special type pan. And basically what it is, it's electric, but basically what it is, with the pan, you put the pan on the actual burner itself, and it'll cook. But as soon as you lift the pan up, you can put your hand on that burner, and it's cool to the touch.
You're kidding.
No, it's and it's technology that's been around for a little bit, but I mean they've really in the last two or three years they've perfected it.
And this is the next big thing.
That's what they're saying, yes.
And that'll be probably, I guess, for safety's sake.
That's what they're saying, and also I think it's probably a little more efficient.
Well, yeah, it would be. How's it? All right, I don't mean to ask a technical question, but how's it convey the heat that quick and quit it that quick?
It's just the way it's designed. I'm not super familiar with it as far as the workings of it on the service side of it.
Yeah.
But in the induction type heating, you know, and you can go to stores and they have these little hot plate induction type things.
Yeah.
That's a big thing also.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I don't have a lot of demand for it right now, but I think as far as the cooking side of things, I think that's something that will probably.
And we did talk earlier, the washer and dryer, the technology there from when you started 20 years ago to now is just amazingly
different. It's just completely different.
Because you got the standalones and the stand on top and that kind of thing. It's just entirely changed.
It's just completely, 100% changed, 100%.
How long will... See, your typical washers and dryers, years ago would last, you know, well, until the thing rolled out of the will those last as long now as they used to?
No. I mean, I used 2 year old dependable care Maytags. I mean, if you didn't get 20 years out of them, you felt like you got cheated.
Yeah,
you know, but anymore with the technology, you know, the computers, that type of stuff, that's what you have issues with. You know, 7 to 10
the side stuff.
Yes. Yeah, you know, you get a bad board, and then you're to the point where, you know, you're putting...
What's the point of doing it? Because it's going to be cheaper to...
Yes, you know, you have to decide whether you want to put, you know, $300 or $400 in a machine that's 7 to 10 years old, you know, where you can just go out and put that money towards a new one.
I've got Sean Rush here. He's the operator of Rush Appliance here in Fairfield. His dad operates the one down in Carmine. Just the two of you now, just the two stores now, right?
Two stores, yeah. We have two stores.
How many stores were there ever? I mean,
I think two.
Didn't you have one? Did Carol never have one in Enfield?
Never had one down there. Just all of our warehouses are in Springerton.
Before we're going to talk about the big green egg whenever we come back. Before we get to that, tell me how financing has changed over the years. Because I remember working at the bank and doing and helping Carol and helping when Jim Cole was doing
the
loan.
Sure, I remember Jim.
For years and years and years and years and years. It's a little different from that now, isn't it? Or is it still similar?
Well, we used to run a lot of contracts to the bank, you know, that type of thing. We don't do that anymore.
Now
you know, all these financing companies have popped up all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, you have Personal Finance and you have Crest and you can just name them forever.
You can put somebody into a.
We can.
You can put somebody into the right situation.
That's exactly right. You know, we still carry a little bit of our own paper. You know, get 0% financing for up to a year with approved credit.
Yeah.
So I mean, pretty much if we've got ways to work with people, you know, if they don't have all the money up front to get it done.
Well, you see, now that's a big deal because it's as the technology improves, sure stuff may not rise in price as fast as it does, but it's still going up.
It is. Yeah, things are going up.
Yeah.
You know, you take a price on a washer and dryer, you know, it's you still have some low-end stuff that you can buy, but, you know, pretty much, things are going up for sure.
Got Sean Rush here. We're talking about Rush Appliance, and we're going to talk about Big Green Egg when we come back, and I'm going to get his opinions of baseball, too. You realize you can't get out of here without talking about baseball.
We'll talk about some baseball.
You do know that, right?
Yeah, I know that.
We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM after these. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. It's 74 degrees outside. Do you still have the air conditioners, the portable air conditioners? is this the season for those? Do people start, I guess, is that on a need basis for the most part?
Oh, yeah.
One of those things?
Yeah, most people don't buy air conditioners until they need them.
Yeah, yeah. And whenever you're installing one of those, how often do you think that you're actually replacing one? About 50%, 20%? Like if you're putting one in a wall,
yeah,
you know, or in a window unit. You sell the window units.
We do. We sell window units, yeah. Most people don't. I mean, usually when you replace one, it's quit.
Yeah. 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 I just wondered if he were if the, ever somebody was breaking down 50 years after the technology that has come out, they just, now I'll get an air conditioner.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the technology has even changed even the window unit industry. You know, used to, on your window units, you would set it to like a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, you know, you would set it to a number.
Uh-huh.
You know, of course, the bigger the number, the colder it was.
Yeah.
And now you actually set it by temperature.
Yeah.
You know, it has a digital control on it, and you can actually.
Is that why I'm having trouble with the one with mine in Wayne City? Because it's a digital control, and it's probably like you say, it's 10 years old.
That's exactly that. Yeah,
7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yep, they change for sure.
I'll be doggone. Yeah. Well, I haven't turned it on yet this year, so
you'll need it this weekend.
I know it. That's what it, that's what it's. Yeah, you've got enough down there ready to go.
We've got plenty to sell.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm talking with Sean Rush. Sean is the manager here of the Rush Appliance and Furniture. Okay, a few years ago, Sean, tell me the story. How in the world, and it's been a nice line, it's been a good line for Big Green Eggs.
Sure, it's been great.
How
for
in the world did somebody talk you into starting to think it was time to sell barbecue grills?
There was a gentleman that drove by my store that was a rep for the company where we get them from.
Uh-huh.
And he stopped by and he said, hey, you guys have got a nice storefront here. Would you be interested in selling Big Green Eggs?
And you said,
and I said, well, I said,
I have no idea.
So he presented it to me, and
had you ever seen one before?
I had seen one. I had a friend in high school that had one.
Uh-huh.
They've been out since probably the 70s.
I mean,
they've been around
that
a long time.
I didn't realize.
Not necessarily to our area,
yeah,
but they originated in Tucker, Georgia, where they originated from, and then they. You know, of course, like any company, the bigger they've got, you know, the more distributors they've picked up, and they've kind of distributed them all over the United States now. So, you know, I looked them over and I contemplated it, and
Carol was still around.
He was, yeah. Grandpa was still there, and I talked with Grandpa and I talked with Dad, and we were a little concerned that you know, living in an area, small area that we live in, that you know, an $1,100 grill smoker, you know, might be a little pricey. But honestly, they sell theirselves.
Really?
They're a phenomenal piece.
Your dad sells them too, doesn't
he? He does. Yeah, we sell them in Carmel also. And what makes them so nice is that they'll last you forever.
Yeah.
You know, you buy one time and it's a lifetime purchase is what it is.
Tell me how it works. I mean, is it have you been down to the place in you haven't
no,
been down to the
No, I haven't
factory?
Been down there. But basically, it's a solid ceramic cooker is what it is. So it's basically like a Komodo style cooker is what it is. All the ceramic pieces to the egg itself have a lifetime warranty on it.
Right.
It uses natural lump charcoal, which what that is just charred hardwood is what it is. Where your briquette charcoal, if you want to do a little research, get online and look up what actually briquette charcoal is made out of.
It's carbon.
And you wouldn't use
tires.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Actually, the Kingsford Company was Henry Ford.
It's King's Ford,
That's right. And what they done back in the day when he was building the Model A and Model T, they took all their crates and their used tires and all that stuff, and they composted all that together, and that's where briquette charcoal come from.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
So there's a lot of carcinogens and type stuff. That's the reason why whenever you use briquette charcoal, you know, you have to light it and let it burn off for 10 or 15 minutes because you're getting all that, basically all the poison off the top of it.
Okay.
I mean, that's the
good tip.
That's the straight blunt way to put it.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why.
But one thing nice about that lump charcoal, it's all natural.
Uh-huh.
And you get that wood flavor just on a normal grill.
All right.
You get that wood flavor in your in your meat.
And the heat, tell me about the heat. It's like stays longer or something?
It does, because that egg is so well insulated, you know, versus a metal grill, where with a metal grill, you're constantly dissipating that heat.
Yeah.
Well, this thing is so well insulated, you're talking half inch to three, maybe even up to an inch of ceramic. It is so well insulated that it's actually a true temperature on the inside. So, I mean,
how do you mean?
Well, you know, versus like a metal grill where you're constantly dissipating that heat.
Right.
You know, if it's 20 degrees outside and you're trying to grill in the wintertime,
it's sucking out the heat.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Where the thing about the egg is, it doesn't matter if it's 100 degrees outside or if it's 20 degrees outside.
What speeds cooking.
Yeah, that's right. Within 10 minutes, I can have my egg at 400 degrees and ready to go.
Is that right?
And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, what the temperature is, it doesn't affect it a bit.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Do you, how long have you been selling them now, you think?
I think it's probably longer than I think, but yeah. I'm
say three. How many different sizes?
They make several now. When I first started selling, they made a small, medium, and a large.
Yeah.
And now they've come out with an extra large. They've come out with a 2X.
Good
grief. Which I've never sold one. I don't stock one because they're about a $3,500 retail ticket.
Whew.
And they're very, very heavy. So I just don't.
You need to have your deck underpinned.
You're talking about a lot of weight there. And now they've also come out with a new one that's called the Mini Max. And what's cool about the Mini Max is it's tailgate friendly.
Uh-huh.
It's building a little nest where you can carry it.
Oh, really?
It still weighs almost 90 pounds. So I mean, you'd have to be, you know, I mean, it's not lightweight, but it has this cooking circumference as a small.
Right.
So you can actually get 4 or 5 burgers on there. You get a couple steaks. So if you want to do some tailgating, you can pack your egg around with you.
How easy is it? I mean, if you're wanting to put it back in your vehicle, if you do want to cool it off quickly, it'll cool quickly.
No. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you have to have some time with it because that is so well insulated.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
It does retain heat. So, I mean, you know, you would have to let it sit for a couple hours before I would.
Even with the top off?
But, you know, to try to transport it.
Wow.
And the way that works is with that egg, what you do is with that lump charcoal, it is reusable. So basically what you do, like with your briquette where you throw it out every time, with the lump charcoal, basically what you do is you just use your ash tool, you scrape your loose stuff to the bottom. And then you just add to that and take off grilling again.
And so you're not wasting the...
That's exactly right.
You're not wasting the charcoal.
Produces very little ash, and it's a slow-burning type.
What's your favorite food on your big green egg?
I've got lots of favorites.
Well, I was going to say, you've probably been cooking on it for a while.
I have. I make a pretty mean cheeseburger on it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Tenderloin is pretty good, and I can...
pork or beef?
Pork.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also a pork butt. You can do a pork butt that's...
Just do the whole butt, just smoke it in there, basically.
Yeah, actually
right?
What I do on mine, you know, and you can do it a couple different ways, but, you know, one thing about the egg, you can cook with direct heat or you can use what's called a plate setter and cook indirect.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you're wanting to smoke for long periods of time, the indirect heat is the way to go.
Yeah.
But what I do on my butt, I'll cook it direct and I'll get it up to about 300 degrees. And I'll cook it about 15 to 20 minutes on each side of that butt.
Oh, okay.
That puts a nice,
nice
bark, sears, and puts a good bark on the outside of it.
Okay.
And then I double wrap it in foil. I put this shiny side in, and then I'll just about every hour I'll keep rotating it until it gets about 200 on the inside. And I'm telling you, it'll be the best.
Is that right?
It's dynamite.
How about that? I'm glad that you're successful. I'm running out of time. What do you think about our Cardinals? Are we gonna be able to catch the Cubs?
I don't think so. I hate to say
everybody,
it.
Everybody I ask is having the same answer.
I mean, we're a 500 ball club.
Did you see last night? The loss last night was like one of the most difficult of the year.
You know, the problem, we're scoring runs late in games.
We're leading the league in runs.
Yes, but we defensively. It's not a typical Cardinal defense right now.
The rookie has kind of affected him up the middle, hasn't it?
He has, but he is hitting the ball well.
Yeah,
I guess Wong got called.
Were you surprised to see him send Colton Wong down?
Well, they're going to send somebody down.
Yeah,
and I didn't think they'd send Diaz down hitting the ball the way he's hitting the ball.
And Wong's been struggling.
228, I think, is what he's hitting on the years.
Always, you know, that's basically another bullet dodged by Greg Garcia because he thought they all thought he was going to go down possibly whenever mm-hmm. they released Ruben Tejada.
So what's you think the plans are? They're going to play Peralta, they play Peralta at third.
They did last night.
Yeah. See, to me,
I thought the original plan was going to be Peralta at third, Carpenter at first, and leave Wong. But then they get rid of Wong
and put Diaz at third.
Yeah. It's going to be Peralta at third, Diaz staying at short, and you may as well ride that train down. You know, ride it until he can't hit anymore.
Yeah.
And apparently Carpenter at second, and then they'll go ahead continuing the first rotation with Adams and Piscotty and whoever they want to put in there.
I like Adams at first base. I think he's our best defensive first baseman.
All right. Well, we may not catch the Cubs. We're like two or three games back in the wild card. Are they going to be able to
I think they can be a wild card team.
I think that maybe you're a baseball coach, so you might have a better thought of this than me. It seems like the pitching has been underperforming, and if they can perform just to where they're supposed to be, they might have a better second half.
Yes, if the pitching is where I thought it would be, and I'm sure what everybody else thought it would be coming into the second half, I think we'll be a wild card team for sure.
Well, at least you've got some happy news for me there, Sean. Yeah. I appreciate it.
I tell you, them Cubs are good. I mean, there's no denying that. They've got a lot of young talent there.
They sure do. Sean, thanks very much for coming on.
I appreciate you having me, Bruce.
That's Sean Rush, and Rush Appliance is the business of the day today, folks. Write that down and head in there. He's got bargains up to 30%. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Have a great one.